Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 1. Job 42, verse 1.
Job 42, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege again of assembling together in your house. And then, Lord, knowing that you are in our midst, we thank you for your presence. And therefore, we ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you tonight. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, "But Now Mine Eye Seeth Thee." That's good, isn't it? Now, but now mine eye seeth thee. And that's found there in verse 5. But we can also title this, "A Perfect Sight of Self That Brings Humility." A perfect sight of self that brings humility. And this is really important in our walk with the Lord. God wants us to understand him. Of course, he knows us. And tonight, as we consider our text, I'm hoping to give you a godly perspective, if you will, maybe a fresh perspective on the book of Job and how the Lord worked. And as we consider Job's friend, we consider the three friends of Job, right? Now, what you hear all the time, there's really four, but there was the three friends of Job. And I believe they were friends. They were really trying to help out Job, but they had some misunderstandings. And so we're going to look at the tail end of the story here of Job, and maybe you'll be challenged to read the scriptures again in the book of Job, knowing what we're going to discover tonight and understand really the heart and mind of the Lord. Lord, Job was a godly man, right? And he went through a lot. And I want to remind you, this test, if you remember this trial that Job went through, it all came about because there was a day when the angels of heaven got together and met with the Lord in chapter 1. You remember that? And Satan was right there with them. And see, Satan wants to destroy God's people, right? And he wants to discredit them. He wants to take the honor and the glory. And so the Lord says, "Where have you been?" And I'm just paraphrasing here. And the devil says, "Oh, I've been walking up and down through the earth." And I can just envision him just lifting up his chest like he was so proud that he had destroyed the earth. He was not pleased to the Lord, and he was trying to undermine the Lord. So he said, I'm walking up and down the earth that I destroyed, that you made you made mankind in your image." And then the Lord says, "Have you happened to notice my servant Job that escheweth or turns away from evil?" And then the devil said something like, "Well, does Job serve thee for naught?" He says, in other words, he serves you because of what you do for him. But if you take everything away, he's gonna curse you. He's going to curse your name right away. And then so the Lord allowed him to do that, and also to allow the boils to come onto his life. And Job did not curse the name of the Lord, but he did have some questions, and we're going to consider that here tonight. And he did have some concerns, and his friends came on the scene. But I want you to see something here. The three friends that Job had that really are primarily spoken about are Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamathite. But then there's another friend that's called Elihu, and we'll take a look at him here in just a moment, and we'll see the right perspective that God puts on the whole picture of what's going on. You know, sometimes we don't know what the Lord is doing. Isn't that the case? But here's the thing. The important thing is to trust that the Lord works out all things for our what? Good. For our good. Now listen, that's where we have to fight what we feel, what we see, and what we think to believe that God works out everything for our good, and that we can trust him and that we can rest in him. And that's something that we have to ask the Lord to bring in us, because right away, listen, if somebody offends us, if somebody does something unkind to us, for example, if we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, right, that might be a little bit disturbing. That might be even a little bit upsetting. Or how about this? If somebody treats us unkindly, right? On purpose. They treat us unkindly. Is that still for our good? It is. It is still for our good. Because God is the one that allows it. And so that's sometimes hard to understand. Listen, did Job do anything bad for the Lord to allow all these things to come into his life? Or did God trust Job that he would be faithful to the Lord? He trusted him. And so when things come into our lives that seem to be, remember, listen, there were thieves that came in and killed all his servants and took his animals, right, his livestock. And so sometimes people can do things to us personally, and we must believe that God is still on the throne and still have a cheerful countenance by the grace of God. Listen, what we're talking about tonight, God does not want us to manufacture that. God wants to bless us with that understanding and that wisdom. You know, the one thing that Job didn't have that we have is the full counsel of God. We can see the account of Job, right? And so when we see these things, God is teaching you and I how to walk. And by the way, don't we need to learn from the Lord how to walk every day? We need to learn more and more about the Lord. So let's consider this, and let's back up here to verse 1 in chapter 32. I'm going to call you back to chapter 32, and I want you to see the Job chapter 32, Job's misconception here. And look at verse 1 as we consider this. Notice, so these three men cease to answer Job. This is Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite. And so for the most part, it was just these three going back and forth with Job. And these three were saying, listen, God, you must have had something happen in your life. You must have allowed some kind of sin. God doesn't just judge people for nothing. But God does try people for his glory, doesn't he? And they didn't understand that. And so we've got this insight now through the Word of God. So it says, so these three men, they ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. He's saying, I did not do anything wrong, right? And the truth be known, he didn't do anything wrong. He was doing everything right, but he thought in his own heart and mind he was being falsely or incorrectly judged. But no, that wasn't the case. God was trying him because he had favored Job and believed that he would be faithful to the Lord, and he was, but he didn't have that right understanding either. So notice this, verse 2, then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, and of the kindred of Ram against Job was his wrath kindled. And we're going to hear a little bit more about this, he was upset. Why? Because he justified himself rather than God. That was the problem right there, see? Job was saying, I'm right, but he's saying, he should have said, and now listen, I'm not in the place of Job, okay? We have the scriptures. What we see now, God is faithful even though I don't understand it. Amen. And I will just tell you this, I don't think I would have fared as good as Job did, amen, when we see this account here. So Job is a perfect, wonderful example, but God's going to perfect this so that we can understand in our own personal lives how we ought to trust the Lord. And so he justified himself rather than God, verse 3, also against his three friends. Now remember, this is Elihu, and these are the three friends that were doing all the talking. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because he had found they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. They were falsely condemning him. Now, I want to say this about Job's three friends. I believe they were sincere. Unfortunately, they were sincerely wrong. They were friends. They did come with him, and they spent a lot of time. In fact, they stayed there for a lot of time without talking to him, and they just mourned with him. I think they were well-meaning friends. They were just misunderstood the Lord and what was going on here. So now what happens here, he says, now Eli, in fact, verse 3 again, also against the three friends, his wrath was kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu, listen to this, had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. So this Elihu is the youngest of them all. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. So out of respect, he waited. He listened to them. And that's an important thing. That's, you don't find that anymore. And he was the younger. And he says, and by the way, they were very old. So it's not saying that he was a teenager. It's not even saying that he was in his 30s. He may have been an older, but he wasn't as old as Job and these other three as well. So he spoke, and notice verse 7, I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty. So he's talking about what God is doing in his life. And you're going to see at the end, Elihu was right and everybody else was wrong. So the Lord really was doing a work in Elihu's life because for whatever reason, God gave him insight. God gave him wisdom and understanding that you and I need as well to walk through this life and uprightly, even when we go through difficult trials. Listen, you and I are a witness for the Lord 24/7. Right? 24 hours, 7 days a week, you and I are on display, and God allows things into our lives because he is trusting, because of our salvation and because of our relationship with the Lord, that we will be a good testimony as we look to the Lord to testify his strength through our lives, right? Lord, I need you to walk uprightly. And by the way, here, we don't have to do anything. If you are saved, you are already abiding in Christ. You're already in Christ, are you not? Amen. And Christ is already in you, and you're already indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But we do need to pray for God's guidance. Amen. Right, Lord, we need you to guide us this day and every day that we might understand how you work in our lives and that we would submit trusting you and that we don't have to take matters into our own hands, because Job could have flipped his lid, couldn't he? He could have really given his friends what for, and he could have given even this young whippersnapper compared to them, he could have given them what for, him what for also, but he didn't do that. So notice, he says, verse 8, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, and this is talking about aged men. Aged men don't always have the understanding, is what he's saying here. So he says, not always wise. He's not saying that they're not wise, but they don't always know everything, right? They don't always understand everything. And again, by his example, he honored them, didn't he, by being quiet and letting them say everything they needed to say until there was nothing left to be said. That is the utmost respect. So he respected them, but what he's saying is that just because you've got gray hairs doesn't mean that you have wisdom and understanding all the time. Not that you shouldn't be listened to. God's not wanting us to discredit the elderly, not at all, but understanding that that we don't always have all the answers all the time. And so that's important to understand that. So he says again, great men, aged men, we'll see that here in just a moment, are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. All the time is what he's talking about, right? Therefore, I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion. Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons whilst ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you. He was paying attention, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. So Job was bringing out these things, and they didn't really answer them, but they came about with their own conclusions. You must have done something. You've had to have allowed something for God. And they were wrong also, because what they were saying, they magnified the Lord in his word. Works, but then they minimalized him on this for that, right? That God was how do you say, like, if you do this, I'm going to do that, and that God was just keeps us on a short chain, waiting for us just to step out a little bit out of line, and he has no patience with us at all, and he judges us. That's not the way the Lord works. God is very patient and very long suffering with all of us, is he not? I will tell you, he's very patient and very long-suffering with me. Right. Amen? He is. He really is. Because, listen, we're not perfect, are we?
No.
And yet, we're still here, aren't we? Amen? And that's because of the love of God. He's very gracious and long-suffering to us. And so he's saying, hey, listen, I want you to understand, you guys did not give him an answer. Notice verse 13. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. So he's saying this is coming of the Lord. It's not because of how he's treated people or anything like that. Now he hath not, verse 14, directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. He says, I'm not going to do that what you did to Job the same way. They were amazed. Notice, they answered no more. They left off speaking. Isn't that good? So they're hearing what Elihu is saying, and Elihu has their attention. And that's a good thing. And that says something about his friends also. They're going to give him his turn. They realized, you know what? We have said everything we could possibly say. Maybe we need to adhere to. Maybe we need to learn something. That's a good place to be, to have a teachable spirit. So they're not arguing with Elihu. They're listening. And so you and I also have opportunities to listen and learn as well. We're not always the ones that know everything, right? And so God is showing and working in their lives as well through Elihu. So verse 15, they were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. Verse 16, when I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more. Did you see that parenthetical statement? I said, I will answer also my part. This is Elihu. I also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. He says, I can't hold it back anymore, guys. God, by the way, we'll see here that the Lord was involved in giving him wisdom to not only for Job's three friends, but also for Job himself to understand what God was doing. So notice verse 20, I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. In other words, I'm not going to be a respecter of persons, neither let me give flattering titles to man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my maker would soon take me away. In other words, I am more concerned about what the Lord thinks and what the Lord has said than what I can do and benefit myself by flattering individuals, right? I'm not going to try to make gains. I'm not trying to make inroads with anybody. I want to walk, what he's saying is, I want to walk upright before the Lord God himself. You know, that is a very important position for the believer to have. More important than what people think about us is what God thinks about us. And more important than what people see, and we can just put up a front on what people see, but more important than that is what God sees, because he sees everything all the time in our lives, how we walk and how we live, and what is in the depths of our hearts. And so if the depths of our hearts are not right with the Lord, are not in sync, are not in unison with the Lord, God is saying, bring them to me and I'll bring them to that place, right? Give me thine heart, right? My son, give me thine heart. That's in the Proverbs, that he might direct our hearts and he might direct our ways and have us wholeheartedly, right? That we're given to the Lord. And that's where this man Elihu was. And so, notice verse 1 here of chapter 33. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, listen to this, hear my speeches. So he's getting ready to talk, isn't he? And hearken to all my words. Notice what he says here. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be, listen, of the uprightness of my heart. And my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. This is important. The Spirit of God hath made me. And that word is capitalized there. And the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He is speaking right about the Lord, and he's getting ready to tell them the truth for both of their benefits, for Job's benefit and also for the three friends. Notice what he says here. Verse 5. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. In other words, if you can debate with me, if you can go ahead and show me where I'm wrong, I'm willing to listen. So he says, I'm going to share some things with you, and if you've got a problem with what I'm saying, I'm willing to hear your side as well. So behold, verse 6, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. He says, I know I'm just flesh and blood, But I want you to know that God has called me to this place to bring light and to bring understanding as to what has transpired that has put Job in this condition and that has put you with a misunderstanding and also Job with a misunderstanding because he thought, why? Why was I ever born? Didn't he say that? I wish I'd never been born. I don't understand. What's going on here? So Job was at a loss as well. So he says this, verse 7, "Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid." Isn't that good? "Neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee." He says, I'm not going to put the load down on you, right? I'm not going to dump the whole load on you because his concern was to point these people back to the Lord. See, listen, God is not looking to lower the hammer down on us. He's wanting to lift us up to his place. He's wanting us to draw us near to him. Verse 8, "Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths." This was Job's position. Oh, listen, all this is happening to me. And it's true. It was happening to him, but he didn't understand that God believed in Joseph. God had trusted in Job, that he would walk upright and stand upright in spite of the opposition. And God did know what he was talking about. He did, but he had a problem with that God was doing that in his life, and God's going to straighten that out for him. This is a takeaway. Ready? Job was faithful in all these trials and all these persecutions, but he did not have the right understanding as to why God was allowed. He never cursed the Lord. He always trusted him, but he was not understanding, and God wants to bring him into this understanding. Notice. He says, verse 9, he says, "I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity found in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy, but he did not. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man." Isn't that the truth? And so you've misunderstood this, Job. God, that's not why God did. God is greater, and you don't understand here. "Why dost thou strive against him?" This is Elihu speaking to Job. "Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters." You know, here's the truth. Ready? Does God have to tell us every little thing? He doesn't. Is he not worthy for us to trust him even when we don't understand him? He is worthy. So this is the faith part. When we go through trials, it's not wrong to experience difficulties, trials, and tears. It's not wrong to do that. Even the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he still trusted in God the Father, didn't he? He still walked uprightly, and he still said, this is important, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." You and I don't have the strength to walk that way without the Lord. We need God to give us that confidence and that comfort in the times of trial. He's the only one that can bring this to pass here. So notice what's going on. He's saying, listen, this is just not making sense. Verse 14, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." In other words, the Lord is speaking, but he missed the understanding of what was going on. "In a dream," verse 15, "in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumbering upon the bed, that then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man." Did you see that? Listen, God reveals things at certain times as he sees fit, and he allows things into our lives as he did into Job. And by the way, listen, Job is still a human being that still deals with pride. Now, he did not exhibit that, but it's humility trusts the Lord. Humility sees the Lord as the master and we are as the slave. We are blood bought, right? We have been purchased, and the Lord has every right to do with his servants as he sees fit. And that's easy to say, but we need the grace of God to walk in that truth. We can hear that, we can understand that, but when it happens in our lives, we need the Lord to walk. That honors the Lord more than anything. When Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, did he point a finger at Potiphar's wife? No. Did he say she's lying? Did he say she set me up? He went to prison, didn't he? He went to the cross, if you will, as the Lord did in all humility. He took the punishment, even though it was unjust, because he trusted the Lord. God wants that. God wants us to walk the way our master walked. Amen. Does he not? And in order to do that, we have to die to self. Now, that's a choice you and I have to make individually. I can't make that choice for you. And you can't make that for me. But if we're going to be found faithful, we have to be willing to trust the Lord in every situation. Every time we get mad, we're not humbly walking with the Lord. That's just a case. Every time we get mad, I know the Bible says, be angry and sin not. But I will tell you, notice the Lord didn't say, and love one another and sin not. But he said, be angry. We can be angry with sin because it destroys, but we don't have the right to be angry at anyone. For any reason at all, we don't have the right. If they do us wrong, God has allowed it. You believe that? That's a little bit. Remember when Absalom took over the kingdom and King David was leaving with all of his men? I can't remember his name right now. It escapes me. But he was coming out cursing God and throwing stones at him. You remember that? And anyway, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but here it is. David said, one of his men said, hey, I'll just go up there and I'll kill him for you. I'll take care of him like that. And David said, nope, let him alone. He said, for God hath allowed him and said, let him curse David this day. And by the way, David never did touch him. It was his son Solomon that took care of him, right? It was after that. But he said, nope, it will be that God will requite me good for his evil towards me this day. And by the way, that works true today. God will bless us for allowing to walk as a lamb, a lamb of God, the sheep of the fold of the Lord, to walk as the Lord did and allowing these things to take place. And we need the Lord for that. And this is what God wants us to focus on. So, notice what he says here. Look at verse 16 again. Then he openeth the ears of man and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. This is not a comfortable position, is it? So that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. This is if the Lord so wills it. Amen. And didn't the flesh of Job come back to him? Right? The Lord blessed him. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, and he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. And by the way, didn't Daniel have that happen to him? They tried to get rid of him, didn't they? Tried to get him thrown into the lion's den. And did God not deliver him? They did Daniel unjustly, didn't they? They set him up. And what did Daniel do? Wait a minute. They conspired again. Did he complain? He went down into the lion's den. See, God is wanting us to be like Job and like Daniel. Amen? to trust the Lord even in these difficulties and in these hard times. So notice, again, verse 27, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, it profiteth me not. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Did you get that? How often does God do it? Oftentimes, doesn't he? Oftentimes with man. To bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Did you see that? These trials bring light to our understanding in our relationship with the Lord. Verse 31, mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. Did you hear that? He's saying, I want to justify you. You've not missed it. You're doing the right thing, but you've misunderstood the Lord. And for whatever reason, God saw fit to give Elihu the insight that Job and the other three friends did not have. And I don't know how God works and why he works. I do know he works. Amen? And he brought this understanding to them through the younger. And I don't believe he was a very young man, but he was younger than the rest of the ones that were of age. So he says again, verse 32, if thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. By the way, remember he said, I'm in this place of God. I'm in the stead of God has sent me to direct you in the right way, to understanding. So that this is the challenge. Ready? When you go back and read through the book of Job, keep this thought in mind that Elihu is coming on the horizon. These other three friends, they meant well. They misunderstood the Lord. When you hear Job justifying himself, he meant well also. He didn't understand. And by the way, listen, the Lord orchestrated all this to take place to bring every one of these people in a right relationship with the Lord. And that's what we're going to focus in on tonight. Let me call you back over to chapter 42, and we're going to finish up here, and we're going to see really Job's realization and reconciliation with God, and really for the other friends as well. So we have Job's misperception, we have Elihu's wrath against Job's three friends, and also with Job, but now we're going to see how Job realizes everything and is reconciled with the Lord. And we're going to go over here to chapter 42, and we're going to put this all together. We're going to start off in verse 1. So notice what it says here. And by the way here, chapters 32 through 37 deal with Elihu, and chapters 38 through 41 deal with the Lord's answer to Job. And now here we find this realization. Now Job is speaking here. Then Job answered the Lord, chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. This is Job. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. He's reflecting on what he was saying to his three friends, justifying himself. He said, man, I was talking, I didn't even know what I was talking about. Amen? That's a good place to be. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. In other words, he's saying, I will call unto you, God, and you teach me your way. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Listen to this. But now mine eye seeth thee. Now listen, he didn't physically see him, but the light came on that he can clearly see the truth now. Okay? Verse 6. Wherefore, listen to this, because he sees now, watch. Wherefore, what does he do? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's not a bad place to be. Because this is in the place of being restored in a right relationship with the Lord after a very difficult trial. All right, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, listen to this, the Lord said to Eliphaz, so now the Lord is speaking, right? So listen, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Why? And against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. So he's saying, you were saying, you know, Job, you must have messed up here, and that's why God's getting you for it. And that's not the way the Lord works. So they misrepresented him. Therefore, listen to what he says. Therefore, take unto you now seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, and for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly in that which you have not spoken of me, the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So listen, here they are. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. So it was not Elihu that was mentioned there. It was the other three friends and Job, right, that were being put on the right path. And the Lord, listen to this. When they did that, what happened? The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and his sisters. And so basically everything was restored, right? Everything was brought back to him the way that it should have been. So what is the lesson here tonight? That not everything always goes according to our thinking. Job misunderstood, didn't he? He was faithful to the Lord. His three friends, I believe they meant well. That's why God restored them. But they didn't speak rightly, see? And it was this younger man here, Elihu, who set the record, who God used, by the way, to set the record straight. God always works through the frail instrumentality of mankind to bring the word, does he not? And listen, we have to, God resists the proud, but he will receive those who humbly walk with him and trust him. And so listen, I want to remind you, if I'm not mistaken, Romans chapter 13 tells us how we're to respect all those who are in authority over us. We should honor them. You know, it's a crying shame for people. You see people publicly dressing down law enforcement and stuff like that. That's ungodly. If they're wrong, may we not be wrong. Amen? If they're wrong, God knows our lives. We should submit to them, and we should allow the law to run its course, and let God will take care of it, and we'll be found innocent if we're innocent, right? And if not, listen, they're following orders or whatever, however it might be. God has set up, we are never right to battle in our strength and our flesh the authorities that God has set up. And here's what we have to do. I have to trust that God has allowed them to be in that position. I mean, when God moved Paul to write that, Nero was the one that was in control. And so tonight, the greatest thing that we can learn is to humbly walk with our God, trusting in him and saying, Lord, give me your wisdom. Give me your light. I don't want to walk in my understanding, because my understanding can't see past these walls unless I look out through these windows. But that's as far as I can see. How far can God see?
All the way.
All the way. Amen. Everything we need to know, God sees. And so we need the Lord, don't we? And if we will seek him, God says we'll find him. And may you and I, God, give us a heart to seek after you and your will and your way. We are the best at misleading ourselves away from the will of God. We can compromise, we can excuse. Why? Because unfortunately, that's our heart. We can excuse ourselves from following the word of God, right? We can stand up for some things really strong, but then maybe in our private life, we might say, well, that's really not all that important. And it is before the Lord, because he sees everything. God wants us to be just and upright in how many of our dealings? Isn't that amazing? We all knew the answer, didn't we? We know that, and we need the Lord to do that for us in our lives. So tonight, but now mine eye seeth thee. Who's that? God, right? And this is a perfect sight of self that brings humility. I am weak, amen? And I can mislead myself like that and walk in the wrong direction. And I believe that all of us in this room, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we all want to hear from the lips of our Savior one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if that's the case, we have to make the Lord of our life. We have to say, Lord, what you say goes in my life. And here's the truth, Lord. If I tell you, I want you to be the Lord in my life, here's one thing I know. If I say, Lord, you're the Lord of my life, I need you. In how many of my ways? In all of my ways, I need you. Because without you, I will step out of the way. I know that about me. I can know that, can't I? I know without the Lord, I will step out and I will do something that will dishonor the Lord. And I will do something that will make me say, oh, I wish I'd never done that. Amen? I wish I'd never done that. Let us live a life for the glory of God with no regrets. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. Lord, we do thank you for the reminder of your great grace and love and your guidance, Lord, that you have for us. If we'll just seek you, trust you, even when things don't make sense, that we'll walk upright by your grace and your mercy and your power. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.